My name's Patricia King, and today I have an exciting message for you to hear. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you? I'm going to pray for your hearing, that your ears, your spiritual ears, are going to be opened up to hear the Holy Spirit's voice like never before. I'm going to pray for you at the end of this program that your ears will be open to hear the supernatural voice of the Spirit of God that will anchor you in truth forever. Amen? Do you want the fruit of the Word in your life? Well, you're going to have it. I want to take you now to a message that I preached at one of our experience nights. We have once a month, we have a group of people that come into a meeting room. We fellowship together and worship. It's wonderful. If you're ever in Phoenix on the first Sunday night of every month, come and join us because we just love our time together. But this message could be life transforming for you. Here it is. What I want to do tonight is look at Mark chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "And he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, 'Listen to this.'" Now I want you to turn to your neighbors and say, "Listen." This is what Jesus said. He said, "Listen to this." And then he starts telling them a parable. So he's got all these people eager to hear God's word through him, and he tells them a story. He oftentimes spoke in parables. And so he said, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, Jesus was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What I want to try to draw out for you tonight is that in this coming year, train yourself to listen to the voice of God. You know, there's different sources of voice, of course. You know, you've got the voice of your flesh or the voice of the world or the voice of a demon, and then there's the voice of God. But let's just break it down into two categories. You've got the voice of God, and you've got the voice that is not God. Amen? That makes it really simple. God's voice or that which is not God's voice. And God wants you to hear and listen for his voice. You got that? So there's two things that we can listen to: God's voice, which is the truth, or the other voice, which is not truth. Okay, so then in verse 10 it says, "As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, 'To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven.'" Now, what Jesus was saying to those that followed after him was, he's saying, because you are seeking me privately for interpretation, because you want the nuggets of truth, because you are hungry for the truth, I'm going to give you the truth. I'm going to give the truth to everyone who hungers after the truth. So he says, "To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." And he's about to expound on one of the greatest mysteries of unlocking the kingdom of God in your life. So he says, "To you who are seeking after me with a sincere hunger for me, I'm going to give you downloads that will help you live a kingdom life. But to those that are outside, to those who are not seeking me, I'm not going to give it to them lest they learn the principles and use it for evil. Now, anyone can discover the principles of God or the laws of God and activate them, and they will work. You understand that, whether you're a Christian or not. Gravity is one of the laws that God created. What goes up comes down. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. The law of gravity works the same. When you discover the law of gravity, you can make it work for you, you know, and you can keep safe with it. That's why we don't go jump off cliffs, because we know that if we did, we'll go down, right? And so you can understand the law and work the law. The law of sowing and reaping. Do you know that the most successful business people, if you follow their biographies, their success is based on sowing and reaping. They discovered that it works. They might never have read the Bible, but they discovered a law that works. And you won't find a successful person that hasn't sown into the ground in order to reap. You know, it's just the way it works. That's how you receive success. It's a law of God. It works for all the people all the time. The law of kindness works. If you're kind to others, they'll be kind to you. You know, it just, there's laws that work. And so Jesus is saying, I want to be careful who I divulge the deep secrets of the kingdom to, because otherwise they could take them and work it for evil. They could take it and work it for evil. And then they can start receiving everything that they need by faith, but not really knowing me. Do you know that Jesus himself said, many will come to me in that day and say, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not work miracles? Did I not do this? And he says, I never knew you. You know why? Because those people found the principles of operating in the prophetic. They found the principles of working the miracles. You know, Lucifer was a created angel in heaven before he fell. And after he fell, he still operates in what he learned. That's how Satanists and witches and that operate in the supernatural and perform lying signs and wonders, because they know the principle of how to work those miracles. And Jesus said, many will come to me saying that we did this and this and this, even in your name, because they learned the principle, but they never drew near to him. You see?
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
And so, Lord, I release your glory.
Visit the online store and feed your spirit with biblically based resources. Go to xpmedia.com.
So he's saying to his disciples, he said, because you're drawing close to me, I'm going to divulge things to you, because I'm not going to divulge things without the seeking dimension, because otherwise it could be dangerous. Although if anyone seeks, they will find, right? Okay, so then he says to them in verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all parables? So he's speaking many parables to them. And he said, but this one, if you understand this one is like the granddaddy of them all. If you understand this one, then all the other ones will be understood, because this one parable will teach you more about kingdom life than any other parable. So he says, first of all, he said, the sower sows the word. In this year, God wants you to get so full of his word that out of your belly will flow that river of living word, that you'll become a sower of that word. You can't sow what you don't have. But he supplies seed to the sower. So the sower sows the word. The word is the seed. Say to your neighbor, the word is the seed. The sower sows the word. Then he says, these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. So he's starting to unpack it for them now. And when they hear the word, how many of you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word? They hear the word, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. So when God brings a word to your heart and you think, wow, that's the word, immediately Satan comes and says, oh, you know what? That doesn't work. Oh, that's a bunch of baloney. Oh, you don't really believe that. Oh, don't bother buying into that lie. You know, earlier I was talking about the tithe and how important it is to give God the first and the best. I could preach scriptures, and I have the past one after the other, about the holy blessing of the tithe, and I could feel in the room Satan coming and stealing the seed before it ever got in people's heart, and I could hear his little lies. I could hear him saying, oh, you don't really believe that. Oh, that's Old Testament. Oh, it's not that. It's not this. It's not that. Because he comes immediately and steals. So that's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear, because you can hear his voice or you can hear the other voice. And he said, the first point of the parable is that the sower sows the word, so the word will come to you, but immediately the enemy can come and try to steal it away. So you have to determine a choice within your heart to say, I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to believe the word of God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, even if I don't understand it. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to believe his promises. I'm going to believe his ways. And if the enemy comes and says, oh, that can't possibly be true. Oh, that couldn't be right. Oh, you can't do that. What? Speaking in tongues? No, that went out, you know, with the last apostle. No tongues for today. You say, but it says this in my Bible. God said it. I'm going to believe it. Amen? In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So now there's another group of people that they actually receive the word. Say, I believe it. I believe it. And they're all excited about it. They say, oh, this is amazing. I got a heavy revy. I got an understanding of the word of God. I've got a promise. It's awesome. And they're all excited. They might even phone their friends and tell them about this wonderful revelation of the word. But when the pressures come, when persecution comes, when maybe someone comes and says, no, that doesn't really mean that. You know, you don't want to go that route. I mean, I've seen people stand in faith for their healing and they ended up dying, you know, and you get pressure against what you believe, right? Or affliction. What if you're believing God and you know that in the measure that you sow, you will reap? So you gave an offering to the Lord, believing for the hundredfold return. And instead, it was like a dull season where nothing came. And there's that affliction that comes. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the affliction, instead of pressing in faith on that word, you retreat. Because there's no firm root of that word in yourself yet. Tribulation and trials will deepen the roots of the word of God in you like nothing will. Because you have to establish in yourself that you will believe the word of God no matter what comes against it. I choose to believe. I remember when my husband and I were going through trial years ago. It was a financial trial. We said, we have all of our eggs in one basket. That's the word of God. God said it. That's it. We're going to stand on it. We're not going to be moved. We're just going to stand on this and believe. And we didn't move off the promises of the word of God. And that is what will allow the roots of those promises to go deep into your life. How many of you have read words on healing and you think, woo, this is so exciting. There's healing. God gave us healing. In fact, he healed all the sick and he told us to go heal all the sick. And you know, everyone's going to get healed. And you go out and start praying for people and all of a sudden the healing doesn't manifest. Right? Maybe even some go on to glory when they were supposed to manifest a healing. Does that allow you to lose your faith? Or do you say, no, I'm standing on this. I'm going to work this word. I'm going to stand on this word until I see the fullness of it manifest. Because your trials and tribulations will deepen the root of the word in you more than ever before. We have to get to a point, beloved, where there's no other option but to believe his word and to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? Verse 18, and others are the ones in whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so the word comes, and you think, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to just do what Jesus said to the rich young ruler, just sell all that I have and go follow him, you know? And then all of a sudden it's like, no, but I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that and I like this more than him and I love that more than him. And even though I know all this thing, I'm not going to do it because I love the world more. I want the world more. That's the cares of the world, the thorns and the thistles. You know, there's nothing in this world worth being anxious about because we're victors all the time. So no matter what pressures come against us, we can always go to the word on anything. You know, even if you're believing for an unsaved loved one to come to Christ, but you're around them, so you believe the word, you've got that word, but then you spend Christmas with them. And you realize, oh my gosh, this word kind of like, you know, but what about this? And look at this and look what they're doing. And, you know, how can they possibly get saved, you know? And so you start being anxious about things that are contrary to the word. You understand what I mean, right? You have to listen to one voice. Will you determine to hear one voice and silence every other voice? Because if the word said it, God means it. And you can determine the course of your life through the word that you believe. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You will become what you think. You know, how many of you have started a project with the Lord? You know, maybe he gave you an assignment to do, like, I don't know, host a meeting or start a church or something like that. And from the moment you stepped into it, all hell broke loose. And everything went the opposite direction of what you thought it was going to do. And the temptation is to fret over it, to be anxious over it. But what did God say? If God said it, you don't let those fretful things get in there. You just keep following God and finding a way through the thickets, through the thorns, slash them out of your way, get them out of your way so that you can see the way of the Lord established. And there's nothing like a good battle like that in order to, you know, see a good testimony. You know, you get a good resistance, you know. God will give you the answers on how to overcome. And before you know it, you have a testimony for his glory. Amen? Verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word. Say hear. Hear. They hear the word and accept it. Now, when you hear the word and allow it to go beyond your head, to go beyond your brain cells into your heart and get established in your heart, to become your internal reality. You know, when I got born again, the reality of Jesus Christ was so tangible to me that nobody could talk me out of it, because the truth concerning Jesus being my Savior and my Lord was so established that there was nothing else. There was nothing else at all to believe. It was established as my internal reality. So that then when I was challenged by my unsaved friends at the time, they said, oh, you don't really believe that, do you? You don't really believe that Jesus is the only way, do you? I said, yes, I do. They said, why? Because the word says so. And they said, well, what's the word? You know, a man wrote the Bible. Anybody could have written that. And I said, no, I just know because I know. It is the truth. My knower knows. Because the truth, the revelation of that word had become my internal reality. No one can tell me that my God doesn't provide. My God provides everything that I need according to his riches and glory. Why? Because I believe that. I know it. It's my internal reality. It is a living reality to me. I know that if God calls me to do something, that he's going to provide for it. I don't always know why, but I know he is. I always know he's going to come through. I know that I know that I know because I heard the word and accepted it as my internal reality. There is no plan B. There are no other options. His word is his word, and that is it. Amen. So you hear the word and accept it. Now, when it becomes your internal reality like that, when you've accepted the word and there's no other options, then it says will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Wow. 30, 60, 100-fold return on that word. This is amazing. What an amazing promise. Now, Jesus is teaching them the granddaddy of the parables concerning the kingdom of God. And he says, the kingdom is like a seed. It's like a sower who goes out and sows the seed. And it falls on all these different grounds. But when it gets in a ground where the seed will be accepted, it's going to expand, it's going to increase, and it's going to multiply. When you determine to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we will see a people in the earth that are beyond fruitful. A people that will arise and shine because our light has come, because we believe the word. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? Now he's saying, this word that is a lamp unto your feet, it's a light unto your path, it's not to be hidden. Go sow the word everywhere. When you proclaim the word of God out into the spirit, it establishes frameworks of his truth for his glory to come and fill. Don't hide the word. Don't hide the faith in that word, but go and proclaim it. Share it with someone. Tell them the good principles of the word of God and keep them in the faith. And then he says again, he said, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, you know, the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us. He hides things for us, not from us. He hides revelation for us, not from us. If you will go after God in the secret place, and you go after him and say, God, I'm the hungriest person on the face of the earth. I got to know you more. You've got to give me another heavy rabbi. I just love you, and I love your kingdom, and it's all I care about. Give me some more. Then you're going to get more. Because he is hidden truth for you. He has hidden secrets and mysteries for you, not from you, for true seekers. For true seekers. Do I have any true seekers in the room tonight? And he says, if anyone has ears to hear, are there any ears hearing here tonight? If anyone has ears to hear, then hear. He says that so many times throughout this portion. Listen, listen, listen. If you have ears to hear, hear, hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. So I want you to hear, but I want you to be careful what you're listening to, because there's my voice and then there's the other voices. Make sure you're listening to my voice and my voice only. Not the voice of self-pity. Not the voice of negativity. Not the voice of I can't do it. Not the voice of it's not going to work out. Not the voice of doubt and unbelief. But my voice, listen to my voice. Take heed what you listen to. Because by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you and more will be given you besides. Now listen carefully. When you hear the word of God and you accept it inside as your internal reality, that becomes your measure. That measure will manifest within your life. When you hear the word of God and obey it, your life will be transformed. You will truly live in the blessing zone. You will truly live in the goodness of God. His word is pure. His word is good. There are two voices, God's voice and that which is not God's voice. And God wants you to live by his voice. When you hear his word and receive it, accept it, let it become your internal reality, that word will transform your life. I'm going to pray for you right now that you will hear the word of God. Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you to fill each and every person watching this program right now. I pray, Father, that you would open up their ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to them and that they would see the miracle intervention of your glory in their life every day of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next time and continue this message.
Breaker Team Partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
This is Clarice. Clarice lives in the frozen tundra of Antarctica, which leaves Clarice lacking a church community. So she logs on to XP Web Church, where she can connect with a vibrant church community anytime, anywhere. Join now at xpwebchurch.com.
What? No, I can't do Thursday. No. I have Haley's recital. I don't understand what the problem is. No, you don't understand.
No puedo. ¿Qué más puede pasar? Me estoy volviendo.
This is really good, babe. Just keep it coming.
Submit your work to the 2011 New Media Fest. Go to christianfilmfest.org.
Try less anger.